United States Savings Bonds Division presents Guest Star. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Ron Rawson, your host for Guest Star, a transcribed feature program brought to you by United States Savings Bonds and this station as a public service. Let it serve as a friendly reminder that the security of your future is in your hands. Save for it through the regular purchase of the finest investment in the world, United States Savings Bonds. Today, we are fortunate to have as our guest one of the most distinguished actors on stage or screen, Mr. Claude Rains. He will appear in a sketch written especially for his appearance on this program. First, however, an opening selection by Harry Sosnick and the Savings Bonds Orchestra. A Sosnick arrangement of Dark Eyes. Mr. Sosnick. And now, friends, we switch you to Hollywood for our special guest, Mr. Claude Rains. He plays the lead in an original drama, Experiment in Terror, by Morton Friedman.
Seven, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Midnight, and light rain is falling. A soft, bone-penetrating rain that glitters darkly on the pavement of a deserted street. An almost deserted street. One man, a fairly ordinary-looking man, is walking down the street. And the sound in the street of the soft splash of the rain and his echoing footsteps. Footsteps that seem to say death. Death. Death.
She shouldn't have done it. She never, never should have done it. But maybe she... Maybe it was innocent. Maybe it could have been innocent. No, 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 it couldn't have, because if it was, then I've killed for nothing. We had a happy life together. Or anyway, we were never unhappy. No man could have asked for a better wife. No man ever had as good a wife as she was. Was. Until New Year's Eve. Should old acquaintance be forgot? I'll never forget you, darling. Never. Nor will I forget that look on your face, that eager, shining look when you kissed Bob. Oh, I know everyone kisses everyone else on New Year's Eve, but you had that look on your face when Bob kissed you. The look you used to have when I kissed you. You fell in love with him then. I saw it happen, right in front of me. I saw it happen. And I wouldn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it. She loves me. She's my wife. That's what I said to myself. But I couldn't believe myself. Not when I saw you in Guido's one afternoon, about a week later, you and Bob, your eyes were glued to his, and again there was that look on your face. You didn't see me come in, you didn't see me leave, and then Bob started to drop in evenings, lots of evenings, and the two of you were hardly aware of the fact that I was there too. No, you were too busy looking at each other. It's not easy to see you. Your wife's love being taken from you, being given to another, not when you love her the way I loved you. But still, I kept trying to tell myself that it was nothing. 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 The railroad yard. Walking lot. Over 2 miles from the house. Came home on this railroad tonight. The business in New York had cleared faster than I thought it would, so I was a day ahead of time. I came home tonight and I found Bob there with you. He looked so cozy, sitting in the kitchen, having coffee like a couple of kids playing house, and it was my house and my wife. You were startled, both of you. Bob jumped up, but you didn't move. You just looked at me and you said...
I didn't expect you until tomorrow.
Not. I'm glad you're back early. Or this is a pleasant surprise or anything like that. Oh, no. Just. I didn't expect you until tomorrow. It was like some corny joke the boys tell in the smoking room. Some joke. Some joke with a laugh on me. You got nervous when I laughed. Bob, too. He started there, now. Look here, old man business, you know, but it was no go. If I couldn't lie to myself anymore, how could I be expected to believe the lies on his lips? I tried not to believe that you two were in love. I had tried, but I had prepared for it, too. I opened my briefcase, and I took out the gun. He was terrified. He began to talk fast. The words tripped in each other as he tried to tell me how wrong I was. But you, my loving wife, you didn't even try to lie. You just sat and stared. Your eyes were glued on the gun. Your face got white. You moved your lips, but no words came out. And Bob, he never stopped talking. And I pointed the gun at his heart, and I pulled the trigger. And again, and again. fell to the floor. The body. It didn't make sense. You can't kill with blank bullets. I put blanks in the gun. I'd only meant to scare him. To tell him that he ever came near you again, I would kill him. I only meant to scare him to death. The way you mean when you say, I was scared to death. And he was scared, all right. But it wasn't his body that fell to the floor. It was yours. You. You. My wife. You were dead. Dead of fright. I thought it all out so carefully. I would scare him away from you. And then we could be happy again, like we used to be before. Before. But I hadn't planned on this. Who ever heard of anyone dying of fright?
Say, pal, did you stake a guy to a meal, even a sandwich? I ain't had a bite to eat for almost 3 days.
Never heard of it. Never. Impossible.
Never heard of a guy being hungry. Impossible, huh?
Impossible. People just don't die of fright. Who ever heard of it?
He fully walked right in front of me. He walked right in front of me.
Yeah, look at him.
I ain't hurt. I didn't touch him. I stopped a foot away from him. Come on, you. Stop stalling. Get up.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey. Hey, this guy's dead.
Dead? But he can't be. I didn't hit him, I tell you. I didn't hit him. I stopped before.
Yeah, I know. I know you didn't hit him. I was watching.
So why should he be dead? He didn't get hit, so why should
he... Don't ask me. Maybe you scared him to death.
Range, your performance was a thrilling one, believe me.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor. I enjoyed playing the part. And I must say, for the moment, your sound effects man had me really believing there was a truck burning down on me.
Well, I had the same feeling. I know what you mean.
Well, perhaps you do, and then again, perhaps you don't. I was thinking how very true it is that emergency, sudden emergency, can face anyone these days. Perhaps not as drastic as in this case, but emergency nevertheless, and I thought how very fortunate we Americans are that we can be prepared to face it when it comes.
You mean by saving for it?
Exactly. We Americans have a great opportunity for saving with safety through the regular purchase of United States savings bonds. With a nest egg of these bonds on hand, why, any situation can be weathered without difficulty.
Yes, indeed. And they're within the reach of everyone, too, through the twin plans. The payroll savings plan for those on a payroll and the bond a month plan for those who are self-employed. I take it then that you are a savings bond buyer.
I am indeed. And I recommend them sincerely to everyone within sound of my voice. And now, if you don't mind, I'll be on my way. Goodbye, everyone. And thank you for listening.
Goodbye, Claude Rains, and thanks for being with us. I've been listening to Guest Star, a transcribed feature program brought to you by this station each week as a public service. Today's guest was the famous star of stage and screen, Mr. Claude Rains. In the supporting cast were Rod O'Connor, Barbara Fuller, Eddie Fields, and Peter Lee. Harry Sosnick conducted the Savings Bonds Orchestra. At the same time next week, we'll have another star on hand with more music from the orchestra. So be sure and join us, won't you? Meanwhile, this is Ron Rawson saying so long, with a suggestion that a secure future is yours if you save for it through the regular purchase of United States savings bonds.